Positioning. Got to be in position. Or you get run over. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. God is good all the time, even when we're not. This is the night the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And the joy of the Lord is our, and in His presence is fullness of. Ooh. Cool. You know what? In His presence is deliverance, healing, refreshing, renewing. Renewing the youth. You want to stay young? Praise God. Hallelujah. Luke 14:25. Now great multitudes went with Jesus, and He turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to Me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be My disciple." Now many people would freak out if they're really, you know, if they don't interpret and understand what the Spirit is releasing and trying to express. In other words, compared to your love for Christ, everything else hated. Hallelujah. "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after Me cannot be My disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the what? Cost." In other words, how much it's going to cost. What's the price? "Whether he has enough to finish it. Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him." The foundation. The foundation. Does everybody get it? See, without a foundation, you can't do nothing. And your foundation must be solid. No cracks. No leaks. "Saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish." I'm going to share something with you, because a lot of people are not able to finish. They begin building and they drift, they fall, they compromise, they fall in a place of complacency, they fall into grumbling and complaining, they fall into works of the flesh, and they're not able to complete. See, there's a cost of freedom, and it's called freedom's cost. In other words, what's the price for your freedom? Are you willing to pay the price for your freedom? Are you willing to maintain that to be free? See, many people drift. They compromise. They fall back into the world. And that's what the Lord is saying. Freedom's cost. Are you really willing to pay the price? Amen? Let's go a little further. Verse 31. "Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be My disciple." In other words, you and I don't own nothing. We are stewards. Amen? First, count the cost. What is the price? There must be a price. What's the price? There's a level of cooperation that must be maintained. That's a price. Many don't complete assignments of the freedom process and will always return to bondage. It's a state of being. Becoming a slave of darkness. They return back. They run back instead of to the light, they run to the dark. In Matthew 7, and verse 13. "Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to what? Destruction." In other words, it's easy to go to destruction. "And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who what? Who find it. The path for freedom is difficult because the evil forces don't want us free. And what do they come against us with? With everyday challenges, attacks, and temptations. Amen? Verse 15, here's God's warning. He gives them a warning. He says, here's going to be the attacks on you. Beware of what? False prophets. Beware of CNN, MSNBC, ABC, and all the other news media. TikTok, and all the media. They're false prophets, man. Beware of the White House and Biden and Obama and the Democrats and Democrats. They're from the Nephilim race. They're antichrist. Beware of them. Amen. Who come to you in what? Sheep's clothing. Oh, they say they're Christians, but they're wolves. If they promote abortion, they're antichrist. But inwardly, they're ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits or by their what? Choices. Their what? Choices of desire. Amen? They're going to have a desire, aren't they? Which is going to make a choice. Amen? Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Hello? What do they mean? Their desires are what? Ungodly. They're offensive to God. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. Hello, that means hell's waiting for them. Therefore, by their fruits you will what? You're going to know them by their choices. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, oh, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So never think your works are what save you. Your good deeds do not save you. Amen. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, which is the anointing. So what is he saying? If you obey my word and you build on my word, you're a wise man. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. So it had a foundation of God's word and the anointing, his presence. But whoever hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Again, warnings about false Christians with signs and wonders. They're not complete in the freedom. They live in a mixed anointing. Many believers don't understand that, mixed anointing. That was one of the first things in my first year or two of being raised up. The Lord brought me and taught me about the mixed anointing. And I saw that, and those are familiar spirits, and I saw that spirit. And that spirit tried to speak through someone to give me a word. And the Lord said, bind it, and the man couldn't speak. And he was white. It was just a white body. I couldn't see a face. There was no face. There was no nothing. Just a white body. Walked up to this man, bent over, spoke into his ear. And he was going to give me a word. He said he had a word for me. I said, what do I do? The Lord said, bind it. I turned my head. I bound that spirit. And that guy couldn't even speak. Does everybody understand? We must hear and not listen. Amen? We're not listening. We're supposed to be hearing. Why? Because when you hear, then you what? Do. People who listen don't do. They just nod.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Okay, okay, okay. And then they walk away and they forget everything they just had. Because they're not doers. They're just listeners. Amen? We must hear and do and not listen and compromise. I love it how the Lord warns us too. He not only tells us things to be aware of, but then he warns us of things. Mark 8:34. When Jesus had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Hello. For whoever desires to save his life will what? Lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Now think about this. What's he saying? If you fall from Christ, you walk away from Christ, and you decide to go back to the world and look to be gained of the world, you lose your soul. Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? That's a price, isn't it? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Jesus remarks of losing soul in exchange for the worldly lusts. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are what? Helpful. Right. Everything. All things are lawful, but not everything is helpful. You know, if you eat enough Twinkies, you look like a Twinkie. Amen? You get sick. You get ill. People don't realize, you know, what you intake physically can harm you. What you intake spiritually can kill you. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of anything. Foods for the stomach and stomach for the foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and also will raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall be one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were what? Bought at a price. We are bought. Our salvation was a price Jesus paid on the cross. Amen? We were bought. With a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So God wants us to glorify him, not only in spirit, but in soul and in body. Amen? That doesn't mean you have to be a bodybuilder. Hello? He just wants us to be healthy. We were bought at a cost. Amen? There was a price paid. Psalm 49 and verse 5, please. Why should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity at my heels surrounds me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother. Whoa. None of this can redeem his brother. In other words, you can't buy with finances, with currency, someone's salvation. Nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their souls is what? Costly. Who paid the price? Jesus. And it shall cause, and it shall cease forever, that he should continue to live eternally and not see the pit. Well, redemption of a soul is costly. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I what? I what? Discipline. I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. That is the first thing. That's the first thing. It's the first requirement for freedom's cost. What is the cost? To be disciplined. Does everybody get it? Disciplined. That means discipline means that you maintain your routine. You maintain, seek the Lord every morning, no matter where you are, what you're doing. Seek ye the kingdom of God, and all things will be added to you. God first. That takes discipline. Because there's always things going on. There's always distractions going on. There's always something going on. Sometimes you're going to have to give up something to maintain your routine. Does everybody understand that? I mean, I like to go to the gym every morning for exercise. But then there's certain things that come up that I can't go. Why? Because then it would interfere with my routine. So my routine is priority, no matter what. No matter where I go, if I go to hotels, if I go anywhere, my wife knows that I'm out praying about an hour and a half somewhere. No matter what. It's priority. It's discipline. Putting things first. Why? What am I putting first? God. It doesn't matter how I feel. I don't care if I'm sick. It doesn't matter. Until I can't open my mouth. Hello? See, this is where people are led by feelings and emotions. Well, I just don't really feel like, you know, maybe God. Well, God knows my heart. Yes, he does. He knows how deceitful it is. He knows how we can compromise. He knows how frail we are. Hey, listen, you might have done things and made mistakes. Don't stop from praying. Don't turn away from God. Oh, God, Lord, how can you even hear my prayer? I can't believe I did this and offended you. Did you repent? Yes. Well, I forgot. How about you forget? So we must be disciplined, amen? That's the price. You're not willing to pay the price. You know what's going to happen? You're going to drift. And discipline is not only keeping your routine, how about over your tongue? Don't be a reactor like a nuclear reactor. Be a response. Don't react, respond. Quit thinking worse first. Amen? Allow counsel, correction, and direction to come. Don't react. What does it do? It's flesh. So we need to be disciplined. What does the Bible say? Without revelation, the restraints aren't there. The restraint of what? Over the flesh. You're restraining your flesh. If you don't have discipline, if you're not disciplined to restrain your flesh, then you don't have discipline over your tongue. If you don't have discipline over your tongue, then you become disqualified. Does everybody understand that? Why? Because there's a level of cooperation with the Spirit of God that must be reached by me and you. Why? We're earning His trust. Amen? We're earning His trust. If you don't have control over your tongue, there's other things you don't have control over. Amen? And somebody's got control over you then. And it ain't the Holy Ghost. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be what? Sober, which means what? Alert. Be vigilant, which means what? Consistent. So can you be sober and vigilant or alert and consistent without being disciplined? No. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a what? Roaring lion. Seeking whom he may what? Devour or distract or whatever. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So you're not the only one going through it. But thank God, go through it. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have been chastened, hello, after you've been corrected, what we call suffered a while, it's going to perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we want to be alert. We want to be vigilant, consistent. Those two things are the fruits of discipline. Does everybody get it? Alert and consistent is the fruits of discipline. If you're disciplined, you'll be alert. Amen? And you'll be consistent. So the first requirement is discipline. Second one is alert and consistency. What does it say? Forsake not to assemble. Be consistent. Be consistent in every morning prayer. That takes discipline, doesn't it? Amen? Galatians chapter 5, please. Deny yourself. Oh, boy, that's a consistency. That takes discipline. Galatians chapter 5, in verse 16. What does it say? I say, then walk in the Spirit. Now look, you can't walk in the Spirit unless you're filled with the Spirit. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why? Because the Spirit will have dominion over your... The self of the Lord will have dominion over the self of flesh. See, don't let the gifts deceive you in that. In other words, there's people praying in tongues, but they're not filled. That's a gift of the Spirit. But you got to be filled with the Spirit. That means you must be humble. You must be a seeker. So once someone's baptized in the Holy Spirit and they have the gift of tongues, the gift isn't taken away if that person doesn't stay filled. It stays there. So a person can pray in tongues and still not be filled with the Spirit now and maintain that level of being filled. Does everybody understand that? Believe me, I know many people that pray in tongues and are heathens. Why? Because they're not filled with the Spirit. Does everybody get the Bible says the gifts are without what? Reproach. Hallelujah. I say, then walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that they do not do the things that they desire or wish. Does everybody get it? Walk in the Spirit is to be filled with the Holy Spirit and fire. That's how you walk in the Spirit. Because fire is the power. So that's the fourth thing. Fill with the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. That means be led by the Spirit. Hebrew chapter 10, verse 26. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice of sins. That means if you practice these things, break covenant, fall into fornication, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy, who have trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle both by the reproaches and the tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has what? Great reward. For you are in need of what? Endurance. So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not those who draw back to perdition, but those who believe to the saving of the soul. Endurance to what? Resist. This is endurance to what? Resist. James 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy, when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. Now, patience is another form of endurance, but this patience means wait. It's a place where you wait. That takes discipline, doesn't it? Not to be moved, not to react, but to respond. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. But anyone who lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Why? Because wisdom tells you what to do. It assists you while you're waiting. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all of his ways. Wow. Patience, this patience is to wait, allows God to take over as wisdom tells what and when to proceed. Does everybody get this? It puts us in a position of no lack. You don't lack anything in that position. So we're going to need endurance to resist, and we're going to need patience to wait. Does everybody get it? Proverbs 21 and verse 20. There is a desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man squanders it. He who follows righteousness and mercy finds life, righteousness, and honor. A wise man scales the city of the mighty and brings down the trusted stronghold. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from what? Trouble. Those who follow righteousness and mercy are going to be blessed. Amen. Those who tie their tongues in a bow are going to be blessed. Glory, James chapter 4 and verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires, your choices? For pleasure that war in your members. You lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain, you fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace, more of God's plan of escape. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he's going to what? He's going to flee from you. Resist the devil. But you got to submit to God first. Or you can't resist the devil. Many people don't get that. They still try to resist the devil in their own strength, but because they're not submitting to God where the anointing is backing them, they can't resist. Many become friends of the world. They begin to act like them. Requirements, discipline. Be alert, sober, walk in the spirit, endurance, patient. Follow righteousness. 2 Corinthians 6. Verse 14, what does it say? Do not be unequally yoked together with what? Unbelievers. For what fellowship is righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion is light with darkness? And what accord is Christ with Belial? What part of it is a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. If they do what? If they come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I'll receive you, I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So we must come out from among them. Associates, bad company brings what? It corrupts your what? Good habits, amen? Associations bring what? Impartations, amen? And I'm going to close at Philippians 3. They must come out from among them. And come out of butt ministry. Don't butt about anything. Amen? But. Right behind butts, an excuse. Right behind butts, a boot. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have what? Counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may what? Gain Christ. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and a fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I what? I press on. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. We need to forget those things. Let them go. Move forward. And reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for which the prize of the upward call of God is in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us be of the same mind, the same thought pattern. Amen? That's one of the things that the Lord is really trying to bring across the body, that we all, and don't get me wrong in this, think according to Christ's thinking. Now, we all have different functions where we think differently to get something done. Amen? Abilities and talents. But there's still a character of Christ that we all must maintain. And it must be renewed every day. Refreshed every day. Every day. Why? Because we want to walk. That's the price of freedom. It's freedom's cost. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the what? Renewing of your thoughts or your mind. Amen. So we're in a time right now where there's so much atmospheric, demonic influence in the air. It's bombarding everyone. Not only physically with microwaves and things to that degree, which are releasing to try and do mind control, but spiritually. Amen? There's more demons on the earth now than there ever has been. There's more demonic forces in the atmosphere than there ever has been. There's more demons in the White House than there's ever been. Come on, think about it. There's more demons and demonic influence in the media than there's ever been. And now you have artificial intelligence, which is controlled by the demonic forces. Amen? Things are happening rapidly and quickly. But he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. So there's areas where the Holy Spirit quickens us and reminds us and refreshes us and renews us so that we can keep going forward, so we don't get sucked into these traps. Amen? So that we're aware of these things. We stay sober. We stay alert. And we stay connected. Praise God. Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for your word. Let it be sealed and protected by the blood of Jesus. And let it grow and bear fruit for your glory. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.